like Karen Curry Parker said, she just experienced so many people who were already doing such work on healing themselves that that language didn't really resonate with them because that wasn't who they are today. So I think like one example is that she just calls the type something different either. Like projectors are called like orchestrators.
Welcome to the Projector Guidance Podcast, your source for unlocking insight into human design. I'm your host, Brandi Yates. Are you ready to dive into the spiritual depths of human design and uncover your unique energetic expression? This podcast is here to guide you on your spiritual journey and open the door to aligning with your authentic self. By discussing the ins and outs of human design, I am here to help you radically embrace the process of discovering who you truly are. Join me in this episode as I sit down with Michelle Smith, a 3-5 emotional projector, to delve into the challenges faced by the 3-5 profile. Michelle sheds light on the quantum alignment system and how it has transformed the way she reads human design charts, adding new dimensions of expansion to her practice. In our conversation, Michelle and I candidly share our personal journeys with alcohol and how sobriety has brought immense peace and clarity to our lives. We also explore the pressures and expectations that come along with being a fifth line and how it can impact one's sense of self, especially when those projections are coming from family members. Tune in for a thought-provoking discussion on navigating the complexities of human design and finding inner peace amidst external pressures. Now, before we move forward with the episode, I want you to pause and take a deep breath and enjoy. Oh, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. I was like, oh no, am I muted?
No, I had my mute button on because they're doing, guess what? Every time I've done a podcast recording, the lawn men come to the resort that we stay at, right? So I'm like, I'm probably going to be dodging the lawnmower with this mute button to try to block it out as much as I can. But yeah, I have not had a recording where they have not been here yet. So
that's hilarious. Maybe it's good luck. I don't know.
maybe. Or it's channel of struggle. I just have to struggle to get every episode out. Just kidding.
I have it too. And I mean, line 3. So, I mean, we're just like exacerbating it together.
Yeah. I want to say you're glowing. You announced your pregnancy the other day. Yes, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Show you the belly if you want.
Yeah, let's see your belly. Girl, how far along are you?
I'm 21 weeks right now. So yeah, it's about halfway. I'm just over halfway there.
I was thinking about it. Are you excited to bring a new human into this world and to like just honor the crap out of their design?
Oh, big time. Like we've already been joking, like my husband jokes that I'm going to have my Apple Watch on like during labor. And the second that baby's out, I'm going to be like, what time is it? So that I can get their exact birth time and pull their chart. Like I'll probably be in the hospital with my phone pulling up their chart because I just will like want to know what they are so bad. I feel like with my luck, they will probably be a manifesting generator just because I feel like my husband's a generator. Statistically, their odds are higher of being a generator and a manifesting generator as well. So, but I'm just like, of course, my channel struggle, my 3-line is going to really push me with this hyper kid, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they'll be a reflector or a manifester or a projector. Who knows?
It's such an exciting time.
It is really exciting. It is fun. It's been a transition for sure. Like this is my first, it's not technically my first pregnancy, but it's my first pregnancy to make it this far. So I'm like feeling like I just kind of got over the like anxiety and the fear, and I'm starting to actually like let myself enjoy the process. Definitely pregnancy after loss is a struggle, but I finally feel like it's fun. And that's why like now everyone knows, so I can talk about it and it's cool.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. But Michelle, what I was really excited to bring you on to this podcast because you got certified in a system that I've been really wanting to dive into because I believe, one, I just really love how Karen Curry has expanded on the language of human design, right? So I did a little bit of research in a sense of how she felt like the language that was delivered through the human design system was limiting, and she's kind of expanded on it. So I would love to just hear your experience in getting certified in that system?
Yeah. So what's really cool with the quantum alignment system is that you not only get certified, I think that they recently changed this. So you might have to do two separate certifications, but at the time that I did it, you received both a certification in her quantum human design language, and then you also received the certification in the quantum alignment system. And we could talk about what the differences between those two are, but the QHD or the quantum human design system is really like how to read the chart in a, like a whole different way. And like through her experience, like she worked with Ra, who is like, you know, the vessel for human design. And she had said that he always wanted to create this like next level elevated language where it wasn't so shocking and so kind of like harsh, because that's kind of the point of like his gate 51 of being like, hey, like you are going to here to struggle. You're here to like be a martyr and like all of these like really negative terms to kind of just like wake people up to being like, oh my God, I've been living out of alignment for so long. But there are like Karen Curry Parker said, she just experienced so many people who were already doing such work on healing themselves that that language didn't really resonate with them because that wasn't who they are today. So that's where this quantum human design language came into play. So I think like one example is that she just calls the types something different either. Like projectors are called like orchestrators, and an emotional authority is like a creative authority. So it's still the same thing, but it's fun because it gives you kind of a different way to think about it and to kind of expand the potential of what is available for you.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Because that was one of the things where, actually in like a previous episode, I was like, yeah, so I'm like trying to change the language. And then the person I was talking to was like, I stick to the book. And I'm like, man, should I be sticking to the book? Should I be trying to expand? And I was like, really, I like got in this moment, my open G center was like, ah, what am I doing? Which direction am I going? But I just think it's really liberating to see that you're not wrong with both. It just depends on your perspective and your training and what you've studied. But I've been really drawn to her system because I want to expand on the language. I want to expand on just the way that it delivers, because it does sometimes comes through just really, really harsh sometimes.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And I feel like before when I would do readings a lot, I would try and like almost, I will say things like, it's the channel of struggle, but it's not that bad, right? Like I'm trying to like make up for the words or the verbiage, or like when people have a hermit like in their profile, they're like, am I a hermit? Like, am I supposed to just be alone all the time? And I'm like, no, like I try and like diffuse the situation with a lot of my clients, because yeah, the language can be very, it can feel very limiting, and it can feel very harsh, and it can feel kind of like, oh, is this even a good thing? But there's always going to be the human design fundamentalists who are like, if it's not source material, then it's bullshit. And I personally don't believe in that. I definitely believe that you're allowed to interpret the system in any way that you want. And that's why I really like Karen Curry Parker too. I feel like she's expanded it in such a beautiful way that like, just because it didn't come from Ra and didn't come from source itself doesn't mean that there isn't truth in it. Cause I mean, your experience as like a 3-5 splenic projector, right, is going to be different than other people's experiences, even with the same design. So it's like, we can't write off people's experiences either, because that's the whole point of the system.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could even see like, just even you getting certified in that, how it could even just bring so much expansion to your readings and the way that you can expand. And I feel like even give more of a transformation and activate people. That's the word I'm looking for. Right. Because in readings, I've had, you know, clients, they're like, after this, I just feel activated, right? And I could just imagine how just, I guess, more activated someone could be if there was a language that maybe just a little, you know.
Yeah, wider. More positive. Yes, totally, totally.
Yeah. Now, with that system, EFT is something that you do, correct?
Yeah, so that is part of the QAS, so the quantum alignment system. So with the way that her system works today, you have to reach a certain level of certification in her quantum human design before you can certify in her quantum alignment system. So but it's just so that you have a basic understanding of human design before you go into the EFT training. Thankfully, like I have a lot of human design experience before I did the certification. So that part came really easy for me. But some people have more EFT experience, and the human design aspect is the part that they're learning. So it really just depends on where you're at. But the quantum alignment system is so freaking cool because it fuses human design and this like modality of EFT to help people like remove these emotional blocks and be able to show up more authentically and align with their design. And the whole reason that I kind of got into it was because that's exactly what I noticed. A lot of my clients loved learning about their design, loved learning the system, but they had a hard time putting it into practice and then actually seeing the benefits from living out as their authentic self, because especially for like our non-majority types, like projectors, reflectors, and manifestors, it can be hard to actively choose to live a lifestyle that's different than what most people are doing. And it brings up a lot of shadows, and it brings up a lot of fears, and it brings up a lot of limiting beliefs. So I wanted to help my clients break through that. And QAS is like the perfect tool to do that.
Yeah. What does EFT like stand for?
Emotional freedom techniques.
Okay. Just curious.
Yes.
Now, let's say, I'm curious. Can you give an example of like one tapping for like one center and kind of like what that means?
Totally. So there are different levels of the QAS system, and I'm currently certified in level one. And eventually I want to go more and more in depth. So level one, we focus strictly on like type and resiliency keys. But then as you go deeper into the certification, it goes into like profile, centers, gates, channels, all of it, like really in depth. Right now I'm just kind of using my intuitive understanding of human design and infusing that with the resiliency keys and using the tapping to move through that. So an example for what you said, actually, let me reverse. The resiliency keys, what the hell are those? So those were developed actually by Karen Curry Parker as almost like a, so you think about human design as, if you thought about it in a hierarchy, I have a lot of collective circuitry in my design. So I like to think about it very like logically, but you would say that like the type is kind of like your overarching aura. And then it's like your authority would probably be the next thing that would be important for you to learn. And then maybe your profile, centers, and then channels and circuitry and gates and those kinds of things. Like that'd be kind of the order of, I don't want to say importance, but the order of which I would recommend someone to learn about their design. The resiliency keys fall above the type. So it's these nine archetypes that all humans experience throughout their lifetime. And majority of people struggle, quote unquote, with lovability and self-worth, which are two resiliency keys. So almost every time a client comes to me with money scarcity, with relationship problems, feeling stuck in their business, it always stems back to them feeling unlovable or being afraid to be authentic because they're afraid that their authentic self won't be loved, or they don't feel worthy of receiving the things that they want or putting themselves in situations that they deserve to be in. And so with those two being kind of like the main hitters that I see most commonly, we tie lovability to like the G center. So depending on if you have a defined G center or undefined G center is going to influence the way that this lovability shows up for you. For me as an undefined G center, and I'm as you as well, like we look for that outside of us, right? Like we question our lovability when someone maybe disagrees with us, or people are like, oh, why do you do that? We're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Like maybe I should be doing something differently. And it's just like, we're constantly questioning like who we are. Whereas someone with a defined G center might actually know who they are, but they're keeping it really pushed, shoved down deep into their core because they don't want to offend people, or they're afraid that they won't be loved if they start to show who this person actually is. So maybe they're not questioning who they are as much, but they just know they have this mask on and they're hiding. So some of like the prompts that we would use are like all specifically tailored to individuals, but I would probably, if I could just give one, would just say like,
even though I am afraid that if I show up authentically, I won't be loved, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Like, that could be just like a really basic prompt that anyone could use, because I think majority of people could resonate with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really like how the 9 resilient keys go above type, right? Because we all have those archetypes and those energies and those experiences that we go through. So that just sounds really relatable. I like that a lot.
And it feels like those are things that people relate to more. Like, you hear self-worth or lovability, authenticity, emotional wisdom or emotional intelligence. Like, these are things everyday people have, at least in their personal development realm, have heard of before. But if I start talking about like your heart center or your G center or your Ajna, that's like human design language that they're not always super familiar with. And even though I can say, oh, your heart center is tied to self-worth, it's just like, they don't study the system like we do. So it's like, doesn't always click in their brain. So I love being able to have these 9 resiliency keys to say, hey, like, as we were tapping and as we were talking, I noticed like you're struggling with emotional intelligence a little bit. Like, let's dig into that. And here are aspects within your chart that could be leading to this conditioning or this low expression or whatever.
Are the keys directly relate, because there's 9 of them, are they related to center? Like, lovability is the G center and worthy would be the heart. So does like each key relate to a specific center?
So yes and no. So it's not each one. So like certain centers have multiple, or certain resiliency keys are influenced by multiple centers. So like vitality is one, just like life force, having energy, like not being burnt out. That's tied to, which I feel like the first one you would think of is the sacral, but it's also tied to the root center, because it's another motor, and it's tied to the heart. It's actually also tied to the throat center, of just like being able to express yourself and manifest and things like that. So yeah, they are tied to centers, but they're not tied like one center per one resiliency key.
Yeah. So like, with adding just this expansion to your readings, like, what kind of transformation have you seen with your clients?
Oh yeah. It's so amazing, because it really helps people take what they're learning from the system and then like move through the things that are preventing them from like showing up that way. So like a big thing for projectors that I've noticed, and that's been coming up a lot, is we want to be recognized, right? That's the whole thing about being a projector. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. And we get bitter as hell when no one recognizes us. But then on the flip side, a lot of my clients are unwilling to put themselves in situations where they will be seen, where they will be heard. An example, I had a client who really, like, she started an Instagram. She wants to build this community around books and reading and just like start a book club and all of this stuff. So I said, why don't you start a book club? I sent her that invite. I was like, I would love to be a part of it. Like, this could be so cool. We could do it together so that it's less intimidating. And she was just like, oh, I like do not want to be on camera on Zoom. Like, that's horrifying to me. And I was like, okay. And then that just gives us like, okay, there's something I can use the QAS system to work on, this fear that she has around being seen. And it's like just one small little nugget of like the whole realm of your design, of like how showing up as like your most authentic self isn't always the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I literally before, like, because I go live often, right? But even just before I go live, I've got to like breathe and like calm myself down. Like, people are like, oh, you're so natural. This is you found your Dharma. You're in your zone. And I'm like, man, if you guys just knew like what happened, like sometimes I press it just to make myself do it. Like, I don't even like, there's like this fear or this anxiety. Sometimes it's like imposter syndrome a lot with me, where I'm like, you know what? Just do it. Just get on there. Just open up the space for things to happen. Because if you don't create this space, right? And especially as a 3-5, if I don't show up and create a space and share my resources, then how can I expect any recognition? How can I expect invitations when I'm not doing anything to practice or create the space for those things?
Oh, yes. Say it louder and prouder for all the projectors, because seriously, like, I feel like this is that missing puzzle piece for the projector brain, because I know for myself too, I fell into the trap of, oh, I'm a projector. I'm supposed to rest. I'm supposed to take it easy. That means I'm not supposed to work so hard. I'm not supposed to like show up on social media every single day. I'm not supposed to do these things. And I mean, I have my root defined. I have my emotional solar plexus defined. So I am an energy projector. I have energy to burn and use, but I realized that I wasn't doing anything to be seen. So there's no way for invitations to come into my realm if no one knows what to invite me for. So it's like, you have to be willing to put yourself out there, to share your opinions, to share your things. And I can completely resonate with the imposter syndrome big time, especially with like the human design fundamentalists out there that like come at you when you aren't talking about variable or if you're not talking about like these high level aspects in human design. And I'm just like, ah, but yes, I mean, like we wouldn't be here right now if we didn't just like get past that fear and show up and do the thing anyway.
Yeah. I feel like for me, it's kind of opposite, where because I've got gate 54 in my north node, right, where it's just this ambition this workaholic type mentality. And so like I sometimes have to remind myself that like you don't have to do as much as you feel you need to do, right? Like I think you need to be more intentional and like put a lot of energy into a certain thing and then rest, instead of just being all chaotic and just exerting this energy in ways where it may not benefit you. So for me, it's been a lot more about being intentional with the way that I'm expressing my energy and allowing myself the space and the freedom to rest. Like there, I really have to talk to myself sometimes and just be like, you have permission. You can do this. You don't have to do the things that you feel like you need to do. So I have to talk myself off of a ledge a lot, which is that conditioning that I'm trying to do. Like, why do you feel like you need to show up? Why are you so adamant about being XYZ? So that's something that I've really been working on for myself as well.
Totally. Oh yeah. I feel like I have gate 54. Don't exactly know where it is in my design, but it's not in a prominent place that like I visit often, but I can definitely, I mean, I have almost all of my gates defined in my root. So I think only the format channel. So like, what is that? 50? Is that 53, 60, nah, and 52? Or I do have 52. So it's just 53 and 60, I think, are the only two that I like don't have regularly. And it's just like so much root pressure. So I can totally relate to like when that pulse comes in and I'm like ready to go and ready to work. It's just like, get out of my way, because that's like all I want to do. But then my undefined sacral has absolutely like no idea when to stop. It's just like, okay, like let's keep going, let's keep working, let's go nonstop. And I'm so grateful for my generator husband, because he is like my visual reminder of like not needing to overwork myself, because he is so good at like working and then coming home and like chilling out. And like he's not all frantic about all these things he has to do. Like he does it, he gets up and he'll like go do his thing and then he goes and sits back down. And I'm just like, okay, I need to like be more like that, not just like so all over the place and like hyper all the time.
Yeah. And so what has been really healing for me is that I'm actually in a projector-projector relationship. So it's almost like this, yeah, this permission where I'm like, you get it. You get it.
Yes.
You know what this feels like. You understand if I just want to lay on the couch. Because she'll have days where she's like, we live in a small place, right? So we have a very synchronized type of schedule. But there will be days where I'm like, hey, like I know you're about to like get it, but this isn't for me today. I am going to be a bum. And it's so nice to be in a relationship where a person's like, oh, I totally get that. Whereas before, like if I was in a generator relationship, I would feel like I need to keep going, I need to keep pushing. So this has been a really healing relationship, because we are type.
I feel like that's, I think in source material, they recommend type to type relationships being the most thriving. So I applaud you, because that's amazing.
What is your husband's profile?
He's a 4-6. He's a 4-6 emotional generator.
She's a 4-6 emotional projector. So talk to me about that. How has your relationship been, or the being a 3-5 and him being a 4-6?
Oh yeah, it's really interesting, actually. I feel like it showed its head the most when we moved and we had to start making like new friends. And I feel like that's really where it started to like show the differences, because like, I definitely think the 4-6 is like a social profile. It definitely has that aspect of like its community and its network. But I think about it more of so like a small group of people that are like, you're really tight with and that you've been friends with, or you build like that deep connection with. Whereas I feel like a lot of my friendships as a 3-5 have been very, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but not that they were surface level, but just like, I have a lot and I like tap in and out. And it's like, it's that 3 line of like bonds made, bonds broken. Cause it's just like so easy for me to like make a friendship and then like hang out with them and then like not text them for like a long time, and then just like randomly out of blue think of them and then hang out. So that's very different than my husband, who like has had his friends his whole life and is like, those are his friends. So when we moved across the country and we're trying to make friends, like I'm literally just like text, like I'll meet someone, get their number, like hang out, like do this. Like I'm always just like, we're gonna go hang out with these new people. And he just was like not having it. He's like, he's like, we barely know these people. Like you're trying to go to dinner with them. He's like, what the heck? And I'm like, yeah. Cause like, how else are you going to get to know people? So it's been really interesting watching. And like, I didn't really notice too much before, like we actually got actively trying to make friends, but that's been the biggest thing definitely, is like he 100% is more like reserved with trying to make new friendships, whereas I can tell that I like will hang out with a stranger pretty much and not care. But I also like that his 6th line kind of lined up with my 3 line, and I love observing the 6th line because I don't have a lot of 6 line energy in my profile. I have a lot of 5 line energy, so the 6th line feels very like foreign to me. So I love just watching him because he's on the roof now, and I can see, we've been together since high school. So we've been together since we were like 16. So I can see how that 3 line really played strong in that first, like before his Saturn return. And now that he's kind of just getting up on the roof, he's so different. And it's just insane how dramatically he has shifted. And I don't know if other people notice, but I'm just like, because I'm around him so often, it's like incredible to see. And he knows nothing about human design, right? So he doesn't, like, he's not trying to like have this big life shift, but it's just cool watching it play out naturally. And it's just, that 6th line's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, I relate to like the 6th line being foreign, because I don't have much 6. I have a lot of 2s and a lot of 5s, but not a lot of 6s. I've got like no 4s, right? So nurturing my network, I'm like, fuck, like nurturing my audience. No, I'm just like, this is not my jam. But, you know, I relate a lot to what you said about the friendships, right? I got a lot of friends. I've had a couple like deep friendships, you know, but more surface level. It's kind of like, you know, projections, you fulfill them, you kind of have this role with different people, you know, because different people see totally different things in you. But I mean, like for me and her, this is the most recent example that made me chuckle not too long ago, was she's you know, she's in marketing, right? So she's got clients all over the place. So, you know, as a 4, you've got to be very mindful of who you're giving your energy to. And she had this one client where she just kept like complaining and complaining and complaining. And I was just like, my 3rd line's just, fuck it. Just cut the cord. just leave. And she's like, no, I got to make sure something else is set up. And so it was just like a huge difference to where like my energy was just like, you know, screw it. I don't know why you're still here. I would have left a long time ago. I probably would have maybe not lasted that long. But she's able of course, she wants to make sure that she has something else stable. She wants to make sure that she has a foundation. She wants to make sure that something else is lined up. So she's looking for something while still dealing with this person. And I'm like, see, yeah, that's not me. I would have cut the cord. I would have left. And then I would have brought something else in. So for me, it's been really amazing to be able to support in a way where I'm not trying to change or force my like opinions or what I would do in a situation, but more to be able to see like, I feel you. I understand why you're doing this. And I'll support you until you get there. Just know that I don't really have much advice, because my advice is like, I would have left a long time ago.
Oh my God. I can relate so much to like the foundational aspect of that four line. Like normally, my husband has to very much like have a plan. Like he needs to know what's going on. Like he asks a lot of questions. Like you can tell that that foundational four line is like, okay, like let's get our ducks in a row before we do anything. Like he'll research TV stands, like to put up our TV on the wall. I swear he researched he'll watch YouTube videos about it. Like he just like does so much research. I need to see if he has a lot of one line energy too, because I bet you he does, because he just like loves to research stuff. And then he'll move forward, whereas like me, I'm very much like you of like, okay, like, oh, I'm gonna buy a TV stand today. And I just like go to Best Buy and just pick one. And then I'm like, okay, this is the one I'm getting. Or like, I'm gonna be a yoga instructor and just like sign up. It's just like, of course I follow my emotional authority now, but back in the day I was very much just like, oh yeah, my spleen was just like, yeah, here you go. And that's the things I was doing.
What type of challenges have you had as a 3-5?
Oh God, what challenges haven't I had? So it's really interesting. I love reflecting post like our pre-human design life, because I have been studying the system now since 2019. So I love to think about, and I was 27 at the time. So I love looking at my early 20s and kind of seeing how this all plays out. But I would definitely say that I've just noticed with my 3 line, and I also have the channel of struggle. So I think that this also plays into it as well. But things just don't naturally come easy for me. And I used to really put a lot of guilt and shame and blame on myself of like, what's wrong with me? Am I always choosing the wrong thing? That kind of mindset. But I've realized now that as a 3 line, like if I don't experience it in this reality, like I'm not going to learn the lessons that I need to learn. So just like with school, like I was going to originally go to medical school, but then I changed my mind. And then I went to my master's, and my master's took me a lot longer. It took me 3 years instead of 2 years. And I barely got by because my instructor was kind of, she's great, but she like expected a lot out of me. And almost all the other professors had to like tell her, hey, it's like, let her pass kind of thing. So I could have been there even longer without them. So I felt like that was definitely like part of my initial struggle. I struggled getting a job out of college. I remember crying a lot and just like not, it didn't come easy for me. I mean, the first time I got pregnant, I had a miscarriage. And I remember saying like, why doesn't anything come easy for me? Like, why does it always have to feel hard? And not that like everything in my life is, and even my business, right? Like I've been doing this for 2 years and I still work a full-time job because it doesn't have the revenue to support me fully. So sometimes that gets in my brain of like, man, like I do so much. Where's that payoff? But overall, I know that I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't be the person that, and I wouldn't be able to help people the way that I grew up with a mother who is bipolar and has mental illness and drug addiction. So, I mean, you could just classify all that into a struggle, like growing up. So it's like, when I get into my self-pity modes, I'll be like, ooh, and this isn't even including the projections that people have set on me as a 5 line of like what people expect of me. And I think that played a lot into a lot of the decisions that I made to go to med school, to like take the jobs that I took right away out of school. Like, I think a lot of that had to do with the projection, because I can tell you probably until human design, I didn't really know who I was. Like, I was just fitting in with my friends, doing what society wanted me to do, doing what I thought was expected of me as a woman in today's society. And then when I was moved away from all of that, I was like, oh my God, who am I? So all of that to say, all of the struggle that I've experienced in my life, though, has made me a better coach. It's made me a better wife. It's made me a better friend, because there has been a countless numbers of times that I've been speaking with a client and they've said, I feel so extremely seen right now. Like, thank you for sharing your story. And I don't think that I could create that capacity or create that space for someone without having experienced something very similar. And I say this all the time, like, although situations might be different, like the actual thing that happened, the emotions that we feel are the same. So it's like, even though you might have experienced loss in a different way than I did, the feeling and the emotions around loss are still the same. So it's like, I can still relate to the way that you were feeling. And I don't think that it's as easy to hold space for someone. And I know that because there have been things that I haven't gone through that people have that I hold the space for them. But when you haven't been through it yourself as a 3-5, I think it can also be hard to like be able to say the right thing or let them be that, feel seen, because it's like, I haven't experienced that for myself, you know?
Yeah.
Long answer.
No, because like everything you said, I'm like, I feel that, because I also, you know, carry that channel of struggle, and nothing has came easy for me. Like it feels like everything has been a struggle. And even like you said, with your caretakers and the way that you were raised, right? Like my father was an addict and my mom had a lot of trauma from that. So that relationship carried on to us and brought more trauma. And just with being a 3-5, right? The biggest thing for me that has really developed, and it's for most people who hold threes, is that we really have this mental challenge of like not being enough. And it's because we've gone through so much trial and error. Things have not came any easy. You may have had to struggle or failed multiple times, but like what I have learned as a 3-5 is that when I'm going in the wrong direction, the failures I'm having are hard. They're like drastic, or it's like, they're like, this, you're not meant to be here, or you're not meant to be doing this. Because like now with my business and my 3-5s and the trial and errors that I have, like they're not so chaotic, right? Yeah. Like they're errors and they're failures, but they're not chaotic. But then in situations where I haven't entered into them correctly, or they've been a projection, right? As my fifth line body, especially with what you said, like having a fifth line body, you have like, you hold this amount of like expectation that you're meant to deliver on something. So like having parents who maybe you have had to take care of, or you had to go in a certain direction, or you had to be this person's for your parents, right? So there's just this expectation that you carry. And so as a third line, I've really had to heal not just my body, but like my mind, because I was so pessimistic on like, why is this happening to me? Why can't anything just go the way that I need it to go? And in reality, a lot of those things happened because I was going in the wrong direction. Like I was in relationships where I wasn't recognized, and rather I was trying to fulfill these projections and prove myself in so many different aspects, to where my body just gave out, right? And then that's when I developed my own addictions, right? I was addicted to stimulants, right? I worked in a gym, and I'm a projector. So not only am I working out, I'm running a gym and I'm coaching classes. So like, that is a lot for an individual. So I'm like Adderall, pre-workout, coffee, bangs, and just the amount of stimulants I was taking, I never thought I was going to be able to function without them, just so that I could live up to these projections that other people had placed on me. And now that I believe, because as a fifth line, we project ourselves outward and like, all right, this is the image that we need to uphold. And we're going to do, especially as a third line, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this. I will adapt and adapt and adapt to meet this image. But if the image that I am projecting doesn't align with me, it's going to cause so much resistance and bitterness and frustration. So for me, I've really been trying to heal this, my mind, in a sense that I am enough. And when I believe that I'm enough, then I give myself that space to experiment more, to try different things. Because when I believe I'm not enough, I'm like, well, I don't want to try that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. And like you said, if you don't experience it yourself as a third line, it's like, you can't really relate. It's like, I hear you. I'm glad that was your experience. But in order for me to know, I've got to go through it, right? So exactly. You can give me all the information you want, but I have to go through it in order for me to be able to relate to that.
Oh, yeah. I can resonate so deeply with what you said about like creating your own addictions. Because like for me, before, like literally actually probably even just before I recently got pregnant, I really struggled with binge drinking. So I was like a really big binge drinker. And I would never have said that I had a problem with alcohol because I only drank on Friday and Saturday, but I would drink till I literally like couldn't walk anymore, like until I was like blackout. And I remember like this still happening at like 30. And I remember being like, how do you not know how to handle your alcohol at 30? You've been drinking for like years by now at this point. And when I started to like do the work around that, it very much was, I think, tied to a lot of these projections that I had, that I pretty much had a mask on. Like, and drinking gave me that moment where I didn't have to wear the mask to be someone that I wasn't that I was trying to be. So that's why I loved like the weekends of being able to just take off this mask, be whoever I wanted to be, and then blame it on the alcohol if someone didn't like it or whatever. And of course, I'm not saying that my drunk self was my authentic self, but it was just an opportunity for me to take a break from trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And now, like, I've been sober since October. And it's like, I can't even begin to explain how energetically transformational it has been, like not drinking, period. Like even just like one sip, I feel like energetically, and I don't think that I would have reached the point where I am today if I had still been drinking. So I'm like really grateful for being pregnant, because that definitely pushed me to not drink anymore. But if anyone listening, if you currently are like maybe a binge drinker, or you feel like you're struggling with drinking and you want to stop, like let me be this living proof for you that it is like so much better on the other side. And I know that like even just a few months ago, I probably would not have believed that, but it really truly is. And I'm sure you can relate with, I don't know if you take a lot of stimulants now, but yeah, so you could probably relate to that feeling of like getting off of it and then just, oh.
Yeah. So I used to be an alcoholic. I actually have two DUIs. I had a third, it got dropped. So like, just to give you the amount of like how deep I could not give up this activity, because
I should have DUIs, by the way. I just didn't get caught.
Man, yeah. Yeah. Good job. I can't say that. But so like me breaking away from alcohol has been like a long transformation, trial and error over and over and over again. And even when I think I got a grasp on it, like just even, yeah. this is my big difference, right? So undefined G center, connected to the liver, right? When I drink, mm-hmm. I truly become a different person. The way I express myself, the direction that I want to go in, the person that I'm being, like I am not myself. I don't want to lose that anymore. I don't want to be and make these choices that aren't aligning to me. Like I don't want and I realized that the only reason why I was drinking was I liked the connection. It was the only way that I could let down my mask, let down my guard and connect with somebody with just through drinking, which is so sad, right? So I really had to get over mm-hmm. this like FOMO and this fear of missing out. And then really looking at my relationships that I had with alcohol, again, all those relationships, super superficial. The only thing we had in common was trauma and the fact that we drank, so we could share our traumas and relate, right? But it didn't bring any growth. It didn't bring any expansion. But then I was also super addicted to Adderall. not due to the fault of my own, but also due to the fault of my own. So like I was prescribed 120 milligrams a day.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. So not like five, not 10, 120. So because I had went and got a CAT scan and I got all these brain tests because I had gotten to a motorcycle accident. And then we found out I was ADHD. So I was starting to take them and I truly believed that I couldn't get off of them. I was like, how am I going to function? I was like,
believe that.
I was in depressed. Like if I wouldn't take my medication, I would lay in bed for 2 days. I had no energy. So like for me, a big transformation has come to where I realized that like with my root center, right? I've got a lot of gates defined in my root that like, if I'm not actively exerting this pressure outward, it can get turned inward real easily. And then that's when I want to binge eat or I want to do something to just kind of get rid of that pressure. So for me to really stay balanced is moving my body, staying active, breath work, really connecting to my body. And yeah, so it's really, really been a big transformation just to get rid of alcohol, because also, you know, alcohol, it lowers your vibration too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not just when you're drinking it, I'm talking about afterwards. Now the day, 2 days, for 3 days, you have like this anxiety cloud kind of hanging over you because your body is detoxing. And to me, like, I don't see the reward in any of those activities. So I just choose not to do them anymore. But to be at this point and to be comfortable, like now I know who I am and I'm comfortable to be like, yeah, I can go out, just give me a Topo Chico. As long as I have like a bottle in my hand, which is like such an alcoholic thing to say, but like if I just have this Topo Chico in my hand, I feel safe. I feel secure. Yeah. We can hang out. This is fine. But it took me a while. I would go hang out with people when I stopped drinking, but because I didn't know myself, I had just this overriding anxiety. Like people are judging me. People are, why aren't you drinking? And I wasn't able to connect. And then like, I would talk to people and like my voice would be shaky all because I wasn't drinking. So it really had a huge, huge hold on me because that activity was literally the thing that I did to run away from all of my issues.
Yes.
It was the thing that I did to only talk about my issues. It was like, I wouldn't talk about my issues unless I was drunk, which shows my communication issues, right? Like I wasn't able to tap into these feelings or to heal them because I only talked about them when I was drunk. So there was never any like realization or growth or healing to move past it. It was like, I talked about my trauma, but I lived in my trauma and I stayed in my trauma because I only discussed it when I was in this alcoholic state.
Yeah, that's fucking powerful. Excuse my language, but that's really, really, that's huge. And I think like, just, I think anytime that you can evaluate your behaviors is so transformational of like, why do you do the things that you do? And like your subconscious mind, and that's what EFT, like going back full circle, but with QAS, like EFT, we're like reprogramming your subconscious mind by removing those emotional blocks that your brain is holding on to. So it's just like, we live 80-90% of what we do is because of our subconscious brain and just because it's what we've always done. So when you're trying to break those patterns, like not drinking, and where are you from originally?
Houston.
Okay. I was just going to ask if you were from the Midwest because I'm from Wisconsin. So being from the Midwest, drinking is like a huge part of our culture. Actually, like when we looked up the like stereotypes for binge drinking, like being from the Midwest, like was one of the points on like the WebMD website, but literally like growing up, drinking every weekend is just normal. Like you go to a football game and you drink beers, like you go to hang out Taco Tuesday, you get margaritas, like it's just everywhere you go. Baby showers, you're drinking. Like it's just, and when I moved to the South, people don't drink the same way here as they did in Wisconsin. So it was like a really big shift where I'm like, I used to be like the not big drinker back home, but then I moved here and then everyone's like, whoa, like you guys drink a lot. And I'm like, I've never been told I drink a lot. And it was just, yeah, I mean, it's
And the final thing I guess I want to say about this too, with you saying it's like an energetic, like lowers your energetic like vibration. I really have felt the most benefit from like meditation and journaling and like energy work from like a long period of time doing it like daily or like every other day. So before, I don't think I ever really saw the benefit of meditation or journaling or the energy work I was doing, because every weekend I was like restarting because I would binge drink and then it's like, I'm starting over again. So no wonder daily meditation didn't fucking do anything for me, because I was like constantly just running in a circle of like fixing the energetic low that I created every Friday and Saturday. But like now that I'm at a point where it's been months since I've drank, I can really actually start to feel the benefits from like daily meditation, from the journaling and reflection, from the like binaural beats and the subliminals that I listen to. So I feel like anyone who is like struggling with this, like know that like these habits that you're building aren't for nothing, but there are potentially other habits that you might be doing that could be preventing those good ones from actually working.
Yeah. I mean, it's like exercise, right? Like you can't expect yourself to go run a mile once or twice a week and then be like, oh, why am I not losing weight? Why is this not happening? Right. You gotta,
exactly.
You gotta stay consistent.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So Michelle, last thing that I want to ask you, this has been amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you.
I want to know what you offer your clients. Like what, what offers do you currently have?
Yeah. So I really have three main offers that you can purchase at any time. So first I have an human design energy guide, and this is the perfect tool for someone who's kind of new to human design and you just want to learn what being like a 4-6 emotional generator actually means. It has both text, journal prompts, action steps, and training videos all included. And that's only $33. Like it's literally a steal. And then I offer chart readings. So if you wanted to like sit down, chat, I can kind of explain your design in a cohesive way. Like a lot of people who come to me for chart readings are like, yeah, I understand the individual pieces, but I don't know how to put them all together. So a chart reading is really good at putting all the pieces together and then giving you actually like an actionable step-by-step guide to how to live according to your design. It's my 5-line that wants to give you practical solutions. So it's always very action oriented. And then I do also offer quantum alignment sessions. So if you are feeling stuck, or if you feel like you have some limiting beliefs or subconscious blocks and these habits that you just can't break, definitely consider booking a QAS session where I'll facilitate the tapping with you, with your human design in mind. And it really does have dramatic effects for everyone that I've worked with, myself included. I tap all the time.
Yeah. I don't even know like which ones they're supposed to do. I just know like the few or whatever. So I just start.
That's all you need. Even if like all you do is this, tap on the karate chop point. If you're feeling emotional, this will bring you right down. So like, this is my favorite one to do in public, because it's something you can kind of like hide easily. And you don't like the face ones are harder to hide because people can see you doing that. But like, if you start to feel yourself getting triggered, your chest gets tight, you're in a situation that you're like, just start tapping your karate chop point and it'll really help bring that down.
I like that for someone who has a completely open solar plexus. Sometimes it's like, I'm not very emotional, but when I am, it's loud. So that's, I like that. Thank you for that.
And I apologize for any emotional energy you're taking in from me today, right now. Sorry.
Well, my partner's emotional, so I'm also taking in emotional energy all the time.
Yeah. I'd say that's like the best and worst thing about my husband and I both being emotional. Like, we don't really like, we each kind of have our own waves and we're doing our own thing. So that's nice, but then it's also hard when, because we're both on our own wave and we're both doing our own thing. So it can be a little emotional crazy in here sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Michelle. So I will be reaching out to you. I will let you know when this is going to get released, probably within the next week or two. I want to thank you again for coming on here. This was amazing. Our conversation was amazing. I felt like we delivered a lot of great solid points. So thank you again for spending time with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me and asking me to be on here. It's really a privilege and honor to be able to just talk about my story and share everything about human design that I can. So thank you.
You're welcome. And also keep up your Instagram. I am just blown away by your growth and your post and the way that you're sharing. Truly, because I have a resistance, man, with Instagram, right? And this TikTok scare, I'm like, shit, fuck, damn it, damn it, I do I have to go to Instagram? And yeah, I just want to compliment you. Every time I see your posts, they're always so enlightening and so informative. So I just wanted to compliment you on that.
I really appreciate that. I feel this the reverse about you with TikTok, because I feel like I can sleep on TikTok a lot. And I'm like, Michelle, like, I think I just hit like 20,000 followers. And I'm like, Michelle, you have like so many people on here. Like, why do you sleep on this platform? But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, girl. I will be in touch.
Thank you for joining in today for our episode on 3-5 challenges and quantum alignment system. I would like to extend my gratitude to Michelle for joining me today and sharing her invaluable insight on the quantum alignment system and her personal experiences as a 3-5 projector. Her wisdom and perspective have added great depth to our conversation, and we are grateful for her time and contribution. If you're wanting to connect with Michelle, you can find her on social media platforms at Your Human Design Coach, or you can go to her website in the show notes below. To connect with myself, visit projectorguidance.com or visit my social media platform at by.brandyyates. The episodes are recorded live on TikTok, providing you with the opportunity to catch them before they are released. To do so, you can register for the event before the recording date, or you can simply visit my page and click on the bell icon at the top to receive notifications for when we go live. By watching the show while it's live, you will also have the chance to get a question answered during the episode. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to engage with us directly and stay ahead of the game. Thank you for joining me today. Until next time.